commentary on today's economic and political events, and it is Monday, April 23rd, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi there, Melody.
Well, we have tough showing in gold today. We'll talk a little bit about that in the program, but to start the segment off today, we certainly had a lot of strength in the dollar, and, I mean, they hit palladium like... It's never been hit before. It was down almost 4.5%, and I think that also drags the sector down. But let's start out with gold. We have gold down. Let me get an updated price and see where we're at. Down $11 in the New York spot price after market trading. Gold is $1,325. Silver was down 51 cents. Yes, it's back down below 17 at $16.68, and that was down 3%. So the white metals really took a beating today. Platinum was down $5 at $925, and palladium was down $42 at $988. So for all of you who thought that my recommendations to buy platinum, because palladium, you know, was at parity, and then all of a sudden it took off. Well, it's not that far away from platinum once again. So again, platinum is still a good buy at these levels if you already have your gold and silver and you want to diversify into something else. And it's okay to diversify within the metal sectors and the precious metal sectors. You don't have to have all type one type of gold coin. And you want to make sure you have the right gold coins and the right silver coins. You don't want to get caught up in various different types of pitches out there, because that's usually when you lose money. But you certainly can diversify within the precious metal sector. And if you haven't done so, give me a call at 1-800-375-4188. The U.S. dollar today, of course, we're seeing strength up 0.60 at 90.92. And we know Larry Kudlow, the Trump's economic advisor, loves a strong dollar. I don't think the markets like a strong dollar, the multinational corporations, but earnings season is over. So, you know, we'll probably see a little bit of strength in the dollar here, which we might see some pressure. And we have crude oil was up 60 cents today at $69. So all the worries are gone. No worries with Iran. No worries with North Korea. No worries, no worries. Everything is fine. And we're all at our happy place, right?
Of course.
Everyone is in their happy place and nothing to worry about. The stock markets today, well, there was pressure on it somewhat, but not much. You had the Dow. I think it was down triple digits at one point, and it came back in the last hour of trade, mainly half hour, down 14 points, 24,448. The NASDAQ was down 17 at 7,128, and the S&P was basically unchanged at 2670. 10-year yield. That's what we're going to talk about. 2.97 up 0.02. The euro was weaker, of course. European and Asian markets were basically flat, unchanged. The fear and greed index is moving up. It's up 40 today. And little pressure on Bitcoin, not much. So all in all, it was... you know what? You know, when we talked about the precious metals, you have aluminum stocks. They fell as U.S. is considering easing sanctions on the Russian company. That could have had a little something to do with the big hit on palladium too, as Russia is a big producer of palladium. So the Treasury Department imposed those sanctions just earlier this month on Rusal. And that's the second largest aluminum producer in the world. And, of course, that's part of a crackdown on the Russian oligarchs. Rusal is controlled by Oleg Deripaska. The sanctions barred Americans from doing business with him and put pressure on world aluminum supply. And today, how many days later? Or 23 days ago, the Treasury Department said it is going to consider easing the sanctions on Rusal if Deripaska divests. Alcoa stock lost 14%. The price of aluminum fell 5%. And Rusal produces about 7% of the world's aluminum. And the United States is its second biggest market after Russia. Mnuchin also, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin also said the United States would extend the deadline for companies that do business with Rusal to undo those ties. And so companies are going to have until October 23rd to untangle themselves from Rusal and find new providers of aluminum. So, you know, we might have, you know, with that 5% drop, you might have seen all the white metals, particularly palladium and platinum, decline, and all the other metals could have followed suit. Along with a stronger dollar, it was not a good day for gold. But again, ladies and gentlemen, the fundamentals for gold and silver have not changed. We get deeper and deeper in debt, and no matter what type of no matter what happens in D.C. politically, the budget is not going to change. It's that's on a course. There's a day of reckoning for the reckless spending and the accountability. And so that is, you know, we're distracted by all this noise that is being given to us, and we forget to look at the bottom line. What's really going on and how it really affects your living, your standard of living. That's, you know, it's the monetary policy, and you know, we have the yield and the benchmark 10-year treasury. It was at 2.99% earlier in the day. 3% is a level that there's been a lot of predictions that it could trigger a reaction across the global financial markets. At 11:32 this morning, the 10-year yield was 2.981 after hitting 2.998. And this is the highest level since 2014. And of course, the 30-year Treasury bond also followed suit. It was higher. So, you know, you look to why is the 10-year yield so important? And that's why do I talk about it every day? Well, you know, that is the benchmark for mortgage rates, car loans, all of your many, many financial instruments is tagged to the 10-year yield. And even as the Federal Reserve is signaling more rate increases coming this year. And what I saw interesting today, Dave, I saw an advertisement for a bank. I think it was a six-month CD. That's the first advertisement I saw for a CD in a long, long time. And they were paying 2.25%.
Hey.
Now, as low as that might seem, and it is, but compared to where it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago when they were paying 0.0001, again, the threat of people moving their money, people's money have been in the stock market mainly for one reason, and that's trying to get a higher yield on their money. And I don't know what that percent would be offered at a CD where people would pull their money and give it back to the banks. I don't know what the magic number is. But, you know, seeing an advertisement for our bank for CDs, they're advertising for that money. And again, there's just another reason for the stock market to be weaker in the very near future as we see these rates rise. But it also makes your debt a lot more expensive to service, too. So we do have a Fed meeting May 2nd. And is that going to be a rate hike meeting, or is that?
No, I think that will come the following month.
I thought it was in June. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, New York Fed Prez William Dudley is due to speak this week. He's going to talk about the transatlantic economy 10 years after the crisis. That's in New York. I'm sure there'll be some quotable statements that come out of that that we will report back to our listeners here in Financial Survival Radio. Geopolitics will remain front and center this week, as it did over the weekend on Saturday. North Korea pledged to halt nuclear and missile tests, adding that it would abandon its nuclear test site in order to pursue peace and economic growth instead. We'll talk about that later on in the show. The President Trump tweeted on Sunday, however, that the North Korean nuclear crisis is far from resolved. And French President Emmanuel Macron will begin his state visit to the U.S. this week, set to meet with the president and be the guest of honor at the president's first state dinner since taking office last January.
And, you know, poor Angela Merkel, all she gets is a working lunch. She doesn't get a big old fancy dinner. You know, he's saving that for the Frenchie.
It pays to be in his honor's good graces.
So, I mean, I'm no fan of Merkel, but I'm no fan of Macron either. Who was the guy before him? Who did he replace?
Oh, how quickly we forget.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, he was trained by him, and, he's just an elitist, but anyway, he's trying to do what's best for France, and we'll see. But, with that meeting with the Fed and everything, everyone is expecting the raising to continue to raise rates a total of 4 times this year. There's some big firms on Wall Street who are predicting a more aggressive Fed, which means higher inflation. You know, that's why they're being so aggressive. So we'll see what happens with that note hovering around 3%, if they will continue to raise those rates a total of 4 times this year. I don't think they will. You know, I think once it gets over 3%, I think they'll cut back on raising rates. But that is my prediction, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, Francois Hollande was Macron's predecessor. Well,
yes. And Macron was his little,
his protege.
Yes, thank you. It's Monday. It's Monday.
Of sorts. Hey, right. There's Mondays and there's Fridays and then there's
and everything, in between.
Everything in between. There you go. That's what we shoot for.
What's next, Dave?
Well, we're talking about the Fed Fund futures market now the commodity, the CME's Fed Watch tool, which has been a reliable gauge of the Fed's actions, has this probability of 50% of a fourth rate, as Melody was saying. The CME computes the probability of a rate hike by taking the end month futures contract and subtracts the level at the beginning of the month and dividing that by 25 basis points. And that's the assumed level of each rate hike. Now, we might quiz listeners on this on Wednesday. So
see if they remember.
That's right.
Okay. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
Which means I better stick a Post-it to my my laptop monitor, so I do as well.
Okay.
You know, the Open Market Committee members themselves in their latest forecast in March did indicate 3 increases in the Fed funds rate this year, but with increasing signs of inflation picking up and as the market begins to price in more hikes, as it apparently is doing or has done, you know, the committee could begin to set its sights higher for, June, September, and December. Now, you know, on another front, on the home front, U.S. sales of existing homes increased a little over 1% on a monthly basis in March. That suggests that buyers are not deterred by the dwindling number of properties that are available on the market. The National Association of Realtors said today that homes sold last month at a seasonally adjusted annual pace of 5.6 million is up from 5.54 million in February. That sales rate is higher than the 2017 total, Melody, but March sales were down slightly over the past 12 months. The housing market apparently continues to be in the grip of an inventory crunch that has restricted sales and growth in home ownership. Even as the overall economy has improved, there's been a 7.2% decline in listings from a year ago to just 1.67 million homes. Boy, that's a big drop.
Well, there have been signs that maybe that decline would bottom out this year, but you know you're going to have these rising mortgage rates. But it's going to make it less likely that the homeowners will choose to sell to buy another property. You also have these shortage of homes. It's also causing prices to grow at roughly double the pace of wages. You have a median sales price has risen to 5.8% from a year ago to $250,000. And I mean, that just really is incredible when the median home is $250,000. I mean, if that doesn't tell you how weak our dollar is, I don't know what will. Mm-hmm. But you had home sales last month. They did rise in the Northeast and Midwest, but fell in the South and the West. Freddie Mac said that the average rate for the 30-year fixed mortgage had climbed to 4.47% last week. And I'll tell you what, Dave, I hear people say all the time, well, you know what, I remember paying, you know, 12% on my mortgage. But your home wasn't valued at $250,000 at that point either. I'll guarantee you the average was $80,000.
That's right.
Or $100,000. So I can't recall a time when we had a median sales price and a 5+% mortgage rate for 30-year fixed. So it does make a difference. This is the highest average since January 2014. And, of course, it certainly is, when your wages, aren't moving up to match. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but
going to have to sit and wait around for another year.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just, we know where it's going, ladies and gentlemen. We know where it's headed. If the rates continue to rise, and this is what's going to happen. It's going to impact the economy. So,
Melody, I know we're going to head into a break real soon here, but here's one that bugs the living crap out of me, as I'm sure it does you and will a number of listeners. The nation's six big Wall Street banks posted record or close to record profits in the first quarter, and they attribute that to the tax cuts implemented by the president and Congress in December. While higher interest rates allowed banks to earn more from lending in the first quarter, that was overshadowed by the first draw of the tax cuts. Combined, the six banks saved at least $3.6 billion last quarter, according to an AP estimate using the bank's tax rates going back to 2015. We'll follow up with more of this information when we get back after this break in a few short moments.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, I was kind of having a bum day, but I started doing this program, and I feel better. And what's wrong with that picture?
Nothing at all. We're spreading the good word.
Oh, my mercy.
You know, the service that... you're providing to listeners is something that, you know, hopefully going to enrich their day and make them better informed investors and Americans. That's good stuff.
It is, and because we're living in times where there's so many distractions. And I mean, you know, you talk about, I don't want to say everything is fake news, but there's a lot of distortions. There's a lot of,
well, unfortunately, you know, we no longer can be sure. You know, yeah. There's far too much in between that. You know, it's like, I mean, maybe it's good. I mean, it forces us to do a little bit more of our own homework.
True.
Rather than just take someone's word, you know, as gospel. But gosh, there seems to be so much gray area, gray matter than there was just, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
And you know what? I think that's gold. I mean, gold is, it's marketed wrong, and there's a lot of, you know, distortions when people are marketing gold and silver and so forth. But the real truth really is gold and silver. The true fundamentals don't change.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, and until it's money, and it's not going to change. So that's something that you can always depend on. Gold is not going to change.
Yeah.
And it's the paper currency that changes. Gold is always constant. It will be there until they actually change. And if we went back to a gold standard, then we'd look at it differently. But until they do, gold is going to be there. Silver is going to be there. The metals are going to perform in the world that's being ushered in. And it doesn't matter what type of world you think is being ushered in. It's going to affect everyone.
And, you know, I read an article this morning, Melody, excuse me for interrupting, some statistics underlying.
Don't let it happen again.
what you just said. Well, I won't in this segment.
I'm just teasing.
No, that's fine. This study talked, I mean, in terms of what you said as gold and silver being a store of value, this study showed that, and this was a study talking about two groups of investors, one who are, you know, in it more for the short term. You know, they're in and out of paper, in and out of gold. They, you know, they just want to, you know, get the biggest bang for their buck. Almost, you know, if not on a day-to-day basis, you know, on a short-term basis. And compare those with someone who's in it for the long run, who's in it for fundamentally philosophical reasons as well as pure economic reason. It showed that from 1899 to 2005, the value of gold change, 0.3%, 0.3%. So you know, a whole bunch of ups and downs in between then, obviously. But, you know, it was a really good lesson for me, for one. And if I can find that article again, we'll put it on our Facebook or Twitter pages and tell listeners when it's up there.
And you're right. And that's what people don't get. There's a lot of ups and downs in between. But you take the old pre-1933 $20 gold pieces. Since 1895, they still purchase the same thing today.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It is truly amazing. And when we talk about the amount of debt, let's just say the economy goes on, and you know, they're able to manage the debt, and they're able to create more debt. And eventually, somebody's going to have to pay for it, whether it be your children or your grandchildren. What better way to diversify or to distribute, not to diversify, but to distribute your wealth so they're protected in the future? What other investment can you give your children and grandchildren and be secure with knowing that it's going to protect them 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, and their children and grandchildren? There isn't any one investment that you can give your family that will protect you with so little risk. And there isn't one paper investment. Sure, you can look at the stock market. Well, you know, I remember when the stock market, or I can remember Berkshire Hathaway traded for $500, you know, now it's trading at this level. It's not the same. It's paper. And when you look at that paper going into our debt-ridden country, a day of reckoning will happen. We just don't know when. And it could be anything. So give the gift. It truly is the gift that keeps giving. And what better way to protect your family?
Melody, how do you respond to a person who's just getting into this, or maybe they've been in it for a while and they just really haven't thought of it in these terms? But how do you answer the question, well, you know, I've had gold has been in my family for 100 years, say, through three generations. And in fact, its value over that time hasn't gone up. It's gone up, say, on average, is this 0.3%. Now, with inflation, you know, hasn't my gold been losing value over time? What's your answer to that?
It's not the gold that lost value. It's your purchasing power that has lost value. The dollar has lost value. The paper currency, because it takes more of those dollars to buy the same thing.
Yes.
And we'll continue on that trend because we have a fiat currency. I mean, we've only lucked out because we're the reserve currency.
That's
for now. But when you have the world trading at levels of debt that have never before been created, I can't even imagine what the one bump will be to cause it all to collapse. I mean, it could be something. So it could be a, you know, a hurricane somewhere. I mean, it could be anything. It could be political. It could be anything. But so no, gold does protect your purchasing power, and those fundamentals don't change. And again, that's what's important. So you can have rates change, you're going to have it go up, you're going to have it go down, but over a long period of time, it remains the same. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. Going into the break, we were talking about the big Wall Street banks, and I might have talked a little bit, and I want you to continue on this because it really does irritate me. And people say, well, what's wrong with them making the profits? Well, my big question to you, Dave, is they're making such big profits, and why do they have to change the regulations so they make more and create the problems that they always created in the past?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not just a matter of making more, but it's how they'll make those at much greater risk to their shareholders, but more importantly, at much greater risk to the rest of us who have to, you know, whose tax funds will be used eventually to bail them out again when things go south.
Yes.
You know, that's the big point here. I mean, you got these big publicly traded banks. I mean, Chase, JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs. You know, the reports for the first quarter are giving their investors and the rest of us, you know, first glimpse into how the new tax law is affecting corporate America. Before the change in tax law in December, the maximum U.S. corporate income tax rate was 35%. That's, you know, plus whatever companies paid in state income tax. You know, banks historically have paid some of the highest taxes among the major industries, just due to, you know, virtually all of their business in the U.S. You know, before the tax cuts, these banks paid between 28 to 31% of their income each year in federal corporate taxes. You know what? I think that's all in. The results that were released over the past week shows how sharply those rates have declined. J.P. Morgan Chase said it had first quarter tax rate of 18%. Goldman Sachs 17%. The highest taxed bank of that six bank group was Citigroup, which had a tax rate of just under 24%. And this is just one quarter's results, and bank executives at the big six firms have estimated that their full year tax rates will be something closer to 20 or 22%. But you know, we'll see that 3.6 billion climb into the double figures toward or in the fourth quarter, Melody.
You know, there's a report by a bank industry analyst, Mike Mayo, and he said that the banks combined would save roughly $19 billion in taxes. I saw other reports, too, where this money is not trickling down to the people, that two-thirds of it is going back, is going to be returned to shareholders in the form of higher dividends and stock buybacks.
As we thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, what is that? Why do people think that it's actually going to go down to the people? it baffles me, truly baffles me. But I guess that one person that does get something, you know, kudos to him. But overall, they're not there. They're just like government. They're not there to help you. They're there to make money off of you. And you know, with the fractional reserve banking, you put in a dollar, they can loan nine times against that. You know, so these banks don't have the money. And think of all now that they can create more fake money. But there were some of them that, you know, after these tax laws went into effect, that they would open branches in various places. But nobody mentions about prior to the announcement of opening branches, maybe 6 months prior to that, they were talking about closing branches.
Mm-hmm.
Because of technology. People don't go into the banks anymore. You don't need the branches anymore. But guess what? You know, so the little cities across this country, you know, they have their branches closed. But J.P. Morgan says, hey, we'll open them up in D.C. and Boston and Philadelphia, where they already have the network and so forth. But again, it's just image building and to bring in the customers. But they certainly did have a windfall. And again, people want to know why the stock markets are not going down. Well, there's one of your reasons.
Hey. Well, you know, in a similar note, we know that Americans, in good times and in bad, Melody, we love our debt, especially the plastic kind, despite the high interest rates it charges if you don't pay them off on time. What are you seeing about that?
Well, you know, people are feeling good. Americans are owing, you know, Americans are owing about $931 billion in credit card debt. Debt levels have been rising. U.S. households now owe $13.15 trillion in total debt. About $931 billion of it is credit card debt. And I thought I saw some numbers that were actually over $1 trillion in credit card debt, but 931 is close enough.
We do, you know? Yeah. I mean, the U.S. debt clock, you know, says total personal debt is just under 19 trillion, and credit card debt is just over $1 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dollars, and they calculate the average per citizen is 58. What is that? 58. Yeah, $58,000 per U.S. citizen.
And, well, I wonder if that includes the deficit that we had, that we talked about last week, where it would increase the family of four by $55,000. So,
yeah, crazy stuff.
It's not credit card debt, but household debt. But anyway, the average household card debt is close to $16,000.
Gosh, that's pretty amazing. We know that credit card debt's one of the most expensive types of debt. Consumers who carry it pay an average of almost $1,300 a year in interest, non-deductible interest. It assumes an average annual percentage rate on these cards of almost 19%. It's impractical on the one hand, but obviously essential on the other. As you know, the Fed is reporting that more Americans are carrying credit card debt. In its latest survey of consumer finances, the Fed said households with card debt has increased from 44% to 44% from 38% at the end of 2013. One of the people quoted here is saying, turning to credit card debt is one of the worst options when you're trying to manage money.
Well, you know, people are charging more because, number one, wages aren't rising. We've been in a culture where if you want something, you charge for it. You don't work for it anymore and get the cash. You know, you want it today. So,
yeah.
You know, it's all a conditioning that we've, you know, experienced in the past, 20 years. There is no cash out there. There is, it makes, people are getting harder. Things are rising. You have medical bills. And people spend more than what they can afford, and that's what credit cards are used for, unnecessary purchases. Then you have medical bills. The increased use of cards, it's widespread. It affects independent contractors as well as employees, the rich as well as those with modest income. So very often you hear people say, oh, I have $35,000 in credit card debt at 9 to 18%. And, the big question is why? I talked to a friend of mine yesterday and, she was saying, oh, she was all excited. She got a $10,000 credit card.
Oh, boy.
And her husband only got one for three. but she's a conservative spender and so forth, so she knows how to manage her money. But so often these credit cards goes into hands of people who cannot manage money. And they end up getting themselves, and people struggle to get out of debt. And it's very hard to pay down. They end up just paying the minimum amounts. And when you have these interest rates rising, those minimum amounts just begin to increase, and it makes it harder and harder for them to pay the principal. We're heading into another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We have some 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles today. We can include them in your little package of 90% silver, $25 face value. And yeah, we did drop that price back down to the on the 90% to 330 because of the big drop today. Those 10th ounce we can do at a very special price, and your total package would be $490. $490 for a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs and a $25 face value of BU dimes. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, there's a lot of talk. We hear about North Korea's intentions about nuclear weapons, Dave?
Yeah, if we only knew for sure. Perhaps we'll find out in a couple of weeks. Pyongyang leaders, that's Kim Jong-un and his leadership, this past weekend said it suspended nuclear tests and intercontinental ballistic missile launches ahead of summits with Seoul, South Korea, and with Washington. Now, that in no way means the Kim regime is going to curtail or halt its existing programs. But, nuclear capabilities is just a crucial component right now of North Korea's identity. You know, not only does Kim govern the nation on a policy known as Byungjin, that's the parallel pursuit of nuclear weapons and economic growth, economic development, but the state has even built monuments at nuclear test sites to memorialize past missile tests. You know, the country's statement over the weekend that was reported by the state-run Korean Central News Agency, KCNA, that followed a plenary session of the ruling Workers' Party top officials, also indicated that the closure of a main nuclear site, nuclear test site, is imminent. But holding tests and missile launches as well as dismantling sites, that together don't reflect a commitment to roll back current nuclear capabilities and hardware. And that's probably a point that should be well taken, not by just the negotiators that are going to be representing South Korea and Washington, D.C. over the next month, but the rest of us, too. When North Korea said it's going to refrain from acts prohibited under the multiple United Nations Security Council resolutions, that doesn't mean it's going to give up, the nuclear capability it's already attained. Melody.
And, you know, it's really hard to tell. It's everybody's questioning why all of a sudden now he's giving up everything and he's just rolling over. And I think it really is because he's got the backing of Russia and China. And I think they're the ones that have offered him protection. And they will, if anybody does anything, they will, back him. And again, it's the pipeline. And I've said that, I don't know on how many programs and so forth. So there is a lot to be said there as far as, him being a little bit more accommodative to the West. So we'll just have to see if they will relinquish their nuclear weapons or, we'll see if anybody just walks out of the room if the U.S. officials demand complete denuclearization of the peninsula. And the person I wouldn't trust, the one that I wouldn't trust, is the South Korean. I don't know. I don't know. He certainly is the one who really started making changes after he came into office last year, big changes. And I guess it's good. And, if he's gotten it to this part, I guess it's good, but I guess we just won't know until after everything is all said and done.
We know that too, Melody, that Japan is paying real close attention to this. I mean, Shinzo Abe, after he met with that's Japan's prime minister, after he met with President Trump last week, among other things, about planning strategy for the coming talks. Abe reportedly, and I want to talk a little bit more with James Corbett in 2 weeks when he's back, Melody. But they have a lot to lose, particularly. I mean, there's Kim has been talking about the longer range intercontinental ballistic missiles, but it has been sort of mum on the short and mid range missiles. Those are the ones that can that can hit Japan and possibly Indonesia and some of the surrounding areas. So that'll be another aspect of it I think will be very interesting, especially as South Korea's leader Moon Jae-in, sits at the first set of meetings scheduled, I think, for next week? Next week or the week after? It's coming soon.
Yeah, time does slip by very quickly. Before we move on to about the G20 countries, I wanted to say something about the G7. There was in Canada, in Toronto, there was a van that mowed down numerous pedestrians, and he was arrested. There's bodies all over the place. The subway service has been halted, and I guess so far 9 have died from this high-speed
That just happened
terrorism.
Today?
It just happened today, yes.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't have the time. I'm just basically looking at the headlines and so forth. But the G7 ministers were in town in Toronto. So it doesn't mean anything because of the, who knows. But, again, we're just, these are just all signs of how violent this world has become. And it's not going to turn around anytime soon. These attacks are not going to go away. I think they're going to continue for whatever reasons. So there is a gathering of the G7 foreign and security ministers that got underway in Toronto, and it was a not a lot of media attention has been on these G7 meeting, but it's just kind of interesting that was happening at the same time that the terrorist attack happened. Not that it was anywhere close or anything like that. coincidence, you might say, but if you're a person that believes in coincidences. So, and coincidences do happen, but anyway, back to the G20 meetings. The G20 countries are weak, and they've moved to slowly improving transparency over their financial secrecy. 2 years after the Panama Papers revealed just how wealthy individuals can hide their money, as International Corruption Watchdog said on Thursday of last week, Transparency International warned that 10 G20 nations have very weak legal frameworks that do little to help law enforcement officials and citizens find out who really owns companies within their borders. It is said that France, Germany, Italy, Brazil have significant room for improvement. The UK remains the only G20 country to have a central register detailing beneficial owners available to the public. A beneficial owner ultimately has a significant control of or owns a corporate entity. The US, Australia, and China are the only nations in the group to have improved from weak to average legal frames combating the financial corruption. So,
hey, it's good to be average in this case, right?
I guess.
Canada and South Korea lag far behind all other G20 countries, that same report said. You know, Canada's reputation is deteriorating with only words to show and no concrete accomplishments, according to the report. Executive director of Transparency International said the glacial pace of progress by the federal, provincial, and territorial governments is an invitation to the corrupt tax evaders and money launderers, excuse me, to continue snow washing their dirty money in Canada. You know, the Panama Papers saw an unprecedented leak of almost 12 million documents from the offshore law firm Mossack Fonseca in April of 2016. That leak raised questions over tax avoidance from prominent individuals, such as the late father of former UK Prime Minister David Cameron, to secret offshore deals worth $2 billion, also with links to Vladimir Putin. Mossack Fonseca operated tax havens in Switzerland, Cyprus, and most notably in the Caribbean, probably the Cayman Islands, plus the British Virgin Islands, held over 100,000 offshore companies alone. Who knew, Melody?
Who knew? But you know what's interesting is lots of times people leave messages on my recorder overnight and so forth, and this goes back, and sometimes they're good ones, so I keep them for a very long time. And it was about the Russians and why is the U.S. was so hot on the Russians, and it was follow the money. And you had all these oligarchs that, you know, Russia had taken their money, and it was the oligarchs that were trying to get their money back. And I've read since then that, you know, Putin was supposedly the richest man in the world. And a lot of these, and his money is spread out, the Cayman Islands and all these other places, to where you can't track it. And some of them are his good buddies, and, you know, to where they've all covered up his wealth and so forth. And I don't know what is true, but, you know, money is probably the, you know, perhaps why we see some of the things that we do see when we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars. Everybody's trying to get it and hide it and cover it up. I mean, it's way beyond what I can imagine as far as what someone would do and what countries would do to go after various people, maybe other leaders of countries, when it involves billions. And it was, I think it was reported he had like $200 billion Putin had. So I don't know. So it's,
you don't, that, You don't often see, you know, the asset allocation categories for, you know, the 99 plus percent of us, you know, stocks, bonds, you know, aggressive stocks, you know, gold, silver, you know, precious metals, et cetera, REITs. You know, that's one thing, but, you know, they have these other categories reserved for the you know, guys like Putin, you know, money laundering.
Yeah.
Offshore banks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. And so this striving for more transparency, I think, is a great thing. I think we'd be a tad naive to think that's going to
happen.
You know, stop the biggest cartels and corrupt the leaders from, you know, hiding what they want to hide, but it's going to make it more difficult. You know, Bitcoin and that kind of the cryptos.
That's where it's a lot of it.
Holy crow. That's I don't know how you untangle that.
Their transparency needs to be transparent.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
But let's move on. I did not know this, that Saudis had intercepted missiles fired. We only have a few minutes. Fired at its Aramco facility, Yemen's. And it's another area no one's talking about. Yemen's armed Houthi movement fired two ballistic missiles at the Saudi Aramco facility in the southern city of Jizan on Monday. Saudi state media said both projectiles were destroyed. The Houthis Al Mazira TV said they had targeted a port belonging to the Saudi state oil giant. The Saudi state news agency quoted the spokesman for the Saudi-led coalition that intervened against the Houthis in Yemen's war in 2015 as saying the two missiles were intercepted and their debris fell on residential neighborhoods. There were no casualties or damages recorded as of the time. There was no immediate response from Aramco, and the company is building a 400,000 barrel per day refinery in this city, part of a new economic city on the Red Sea, and is expected to become fully operational in 2019. So,
yeah, again, that's interesting. That's really flown below the radar.
Yeah.
In the past week. I mean, the Houthis say their missile attacks on Saudi Arabia are in retaliation for the air raids on Yemen. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, Iran apparently arms and supports the Houthis, although Tehran denies that. That may, you know, therein spell some of the complication with this, Melody.
Yes, so we have a complication too. We're running out of time, and we will. Yes, we'll be returning tomorrow. I will be returning tomorrow. Dane will be back. So stay tonight.
Bye bye. I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.